My name is Andy Black. Thank you for choosing to listen to today's health update so the truth can set you free. This is the fastest 30 minutes on the radio covering health, freedoms, and faith. Remember, just because you see it on television doesn't mean it's true. Just because the news reports it doesn't mean it's true. The deep state's goal is to cause so much fear that we will gladly and without resistance give up our freedoms in the name of the common good. Beware, communism always stresses it's for the common good. 2024 is the year that we must be diligent, informed, active in our republic, and prepared to defend our nation and our freedoms. And that is why we recommend everyone listen to today's health update. Yes, we tell the truth about the health of our society, but we also tell the truth concerning the spiritual health of our nation, so you will know what is coming and how to respond. So now, listen to the fastest 30 minutes on the radio with Roy Williams. You will be glad you did.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to today's health update. Roy Williams here, the guru of good health, the superintendent of supplementation. Boy, am I ever excited to continue with what I started last week, and it's called natural antibiotics. Natural antibiotics. We're living in times, as I told you last week, where it's getting so dangerous because they have used these man-made synthetic antibiotics for years and years now, and the bacteria, the germs, and things that they're designed to destroy are no longer being affected by it. In other words, they have built antibiotic resistance up. The bacteria, the strains of disease that we're getting, it's just becoming antibiotic resistant. So there's going to come a day, they're warning us, and I went over this with you. They're warning us that there's going to come a day when no antibiotic will work anymore, and that's going to wipe out millions and millions of people around the world, unless we get wise and go back to what God made to handle these situations instead of what man made. I'll read this part of this article again, and this was by Kent State University. It says, antibiotics are losing their magic, but they are not losing any of their toxicity. Isn't that interesting that Kent State University is telling you that antibiotics are toxic? The ultimate purpose, it says in the article, for which a bomb exists is to kill people. He's talking about a bomb. You set off a bomb in a city, you kill people. To maim people, to cause people great suffering. Now, how is it possible to say the same thing about pharmaceutical companies? Think about it. And many of the drugs and vaccines they create. What he's telling you is they're bombs waiting to go off. There's going to come a strain one day of let's say, a bacteria or a germ that you can give them all the antibiotics you want, it's still going to kill you. Okay? He goes on to say that is 10 million who will die because of the abomination that modern medicine has become. Now, here's a man telling you that our modern medicine has become an abomination. He says that is because modern civilization has bought into pharmaceutical madness, or what I call pharmaceutical terrorism. It is because the pharmaceutical paradigm hates natural medicine, even though emergency room and UCI doctors use natural medicines routinely to save lives every day. Now, I'm gonna say something here at this point. I'm going to give you an example of how stupid, how ignorant, how mean, how immoral, how evil the pharmaceutical companies are. In the state of Alabama has fallen under their guise. The state of Alabama has banned the sale of a natural supplement out there, the leaf off of a tree called the kratom tree. And they just take the leaf, they grind it up, and they make a tea, or they just crush it into a real fine powder and put it on your tongue, wash it down. And it's a natural painkiller. It hits the same receptor sites that opium does, but with none of the negative effects of opium. It's not addicting, don't hurt your kidneys, don't hurt your liver, but it knocks pain out for 2 to 3 hours at a time. Yet they will not allow you in Alabama to get access to it. They will block it at every stage they can. Why? Money. The state of Alabama's entire retirement program, or 75% of it, 76% of it, is in the pharmaceutical industry. They're what? They're retirement accounts. So they're not going to let anything interfere with that, including death. They won't. They don't care how many people dies. Don't touch their retirement. Is that not sick? Same thing with antibiotics. We're living in a society that's going to meet a bacteria or a germ one day that the antibiotics don't work with. So what have I been doing the last, this will be the third show. I've been talking about natural antibiotics. The first one I talked about was iodine. Iodine kills 90% of bacteria on the skin within 90 seconds. Iodine exhibits activity against bacteria, mold, yeast, protozoa, and many various viruses indeed, even the viruses. Now, to stop right there, I want to say this. Iodine is so safe. I mean, he gives examples of how much more they get in like Japan and other countries than we get in their diet. Yet they want you to be afraid to use iodine, especially internally, when indeed you can take it. I mean, it plainly tells you right here, this is Dr. Cousins wrote, historically, as early as 1911, people normally took between 300,000 and 900,000 micrograms of iodine daily without incident. You know what else they got? They had no thyroid issues. Did you hear me? Why is that? Iodine, it's necessary. It's a nutrient you have to have, yet they've almost blocked it completely from our society. Why? Because it would put them out of business. He says other researchers have used between 3,000 and 6,000 micrograms a day to prevent goiter. What is that? Thyroid issues. All right, so, you know, we'll stop there on that one. Then we went over chlorine dioxide. Yeah, chlorine is in, you know, bleach, that kind of stuff. You don't want to drink that. You don't want to put that on your skin. But chlorine dioxide is a powerful antimicrobial compound with a long history of use, mostly known for its ability to what? Sanitize drinking water. I mean, the last 60 years being the primary chemical in municipal water systems. They use it. It's safe. But if you use it in the right amounts, which they don't ever want you to find out what that is, it's safe. But what does it do? It will, listen to me, it will protect you from all kinds of infections. And there's no bacteria, germ, or virus that can live in the presence of chlorine dioxide. And chlorine dioxide is so safe, its lifespan is very short. It kills the infectious diseases, the bacteria, viruses, and germs. It kills them so quickly, and it has such a short life that it just dissipates in the human body and does no has no negative side effects. So we went over those two, and then of course, today, we're going to move on into sodium bicarbonate or baking soda. They don't want you to know this. However, some people do. Let's start here. He says, believe it or not, baking soda has antibacterial properties, reducing the occurrence of accumulation of bacteria in your mouth that may cause decay or periodontal disease. Brushing with baking soda can help remove food remains that encourage bacterial growth. At physiological concentrations, bicarbonate enhance the activity of some antibiotics. More importantly, concerning sepsis, bicarbonate potentiated antibiotics. In other words, made the antibiotics even more effective. And it did that on four bacterial species identified by who? By the WHO, the World Health Organization. And they've made it a global health priority that people find out about this, but yet nobody knows it. The antibacterial activity of baking soda, sodium bicarbonate, in other words, reveals substantial inhibitory activity against Staphylococcus, due to ionic strength or high osmolarity. Basically, short-term exposure assays showed a significant killing of bacterial suspensions when baking soda was combined with the detergent sodium sulfate. All right, multiple brief exposures of sucrose colonized S or staphylococcus, in other words, to baking soda and sodium sulfate caused statistically significant decreases in viable cells. Using oral healthcare products with high concentrations of baking soda could decrease levels of chirogenic staphylococcus in saliva and plaque. So we know the stuff works. It's a simple thing. It's inexpensive. And the key to it is pH. Remember, sodium bicarbonate is pH high in pH. In other words, it has a pH above 7.4. Now, let me cover that for you just a second. pH affects bacterial growth. Why? Because bacteria can, well, let me say it this way. Healthy cells need optimum pH for carrying out their biochemical and molecular process. Bacteria can only live, grow, and multiply in a specific range of physical environments. pH is a factor that influences the bacterial growth. Bacteria are sensitive to pH because it affects the catalytic ability of enzymes and alters the ionic charge of many biochemicals affecting metabolic reactions. Bicarbonate acts in conjunction with carbon dioxide to buffer our blood, as an example. So you see, if you can use even sodium baking soda, like for instance, at our house, if we get acid reflux or heartburn or indigestion, a lot of times we'll just take a teaspoon of baking soda, pour it on our tongue and wash it down, or mix it with some water and drink it. And let me tell you something, in 5 minutes, it's gone most of the time. Why? Because it knocks out the acid that's causing the problem. We get too acidic, we get disease. Remember, cancer can only grow in acid conditions. You want to be alkaline, and that's what baking soda basically does. It says the optimum growth pH is the most valuable pH for the growth of an organism. The lowest pH value that an organism can tolerate is called the maximum growth pH, and the highest pH that it can grow with is the maximum growth pH. These values can cover a wide range, which is important for the preservation of food and to microorganisms. In other words, the bacteria that grows inside your digestive system needs the proper pH. For example, the optimum growth pH of salmonella, which you don't want, is 7.0 to 7.5. So all you got to do is jolt your pH above 7.5 or below 7.0, and what happens? Salmonella can't grow. It'll keep you from getting food poisoning. But the minimum growth pH for any kind of bacteria, you could knock any of them out is closer to 4.2. It's hard to get that much acid in your body without causing harm. However, the digestive system is a high acid thing. Remember, your body releases acid to help you digest your food. So when you get too much acid in the digestive system, you can get indigestion or heartburn. Let's go on to say it this way. Sodium bicarbonate can function as an antimicrobial agent along or synergistically with other antimicrobials. It can reduce the occurrence or accumulation of bacteria in your mouth that may cause decay or periodontal disease. It can reduce it in your digestive system. Brushing with baking soda can help remove food remains that encourage bacterial growth. So remember that. But here's the next thing. Remember, you can mix it with a little bit of water and drink baking soda to improve the pH in the digestive system. It's totally safe in that amount. It may make you belch. That's good, though. Usually when you belch, right after that, the discomfort goes away. Now, there's another one. The next one is called magnesium chloride. Now, y'all know for years, we have always sold and still do sell a tablet called magnesium chloride. It is by far the most important form of magnesium that's ever come down the pike. I'm telling you, there's a lot of magnesiums out there, sulfates and all that stuff. I don't use those. We use magnesium chloride. If you were to be diagnosed with a real low magnesium level, the doctor would probably write you a prescription. What would it be? Magnesium chloride. My point is, you don't have to have a prescription to get magnesium chloride. Magnesium's natural, and they just add the chloride to it for absorption. But you don't have to have a prescription. You can get the prescription if you want to. It'll cost you about $60 for a month's supply, or you can get magnesium chloride for under $25. You choose. And that's by the way, it's a bunch of them. That's 100 tablets. All right, let's talk about magnesium chloride in more detail. Many years ago, I came across Dr. Rule Virginian, I don't even know how to pronounce his name, and his work in Italy using magnesium chloride to fight infectious diseases. To do what? To fight infectious diseases. Now remember, magnesium chloride is totally safe in any amount. If you take more magnesium than you need, your body will just simply tell you by your stools will turn liquid. When your stools turn liquid, you need to cut back on your magnesium. No harm done. But guess what? You're less likely to have a heart attack or stroke if you keep your magnesium levels up. Makes sense, don't it? Remember, calcium causes the heart to constrict, which allows your heart to squeeze and push blood through the whole body. The only thing that lets the heart muscle relax then to refill with blood is magnesium. So you want to keep a good ratio of calcium and magnesium, at least a 50% ratio. In other words, if you're taking 1,000 milligrams of calcium, 500 milligrams of magnesium. However, most people don't need to take any calcium in America, but you do need to take your magnesium at about 500 milligrams a day. Back to this article by Dr. Raul, he says, he reminded me that magnesium chloride is an essential and powerful agent in fighting infectious diseases, as is iodine, chlorine dioxide, and sodium bicarbonate. The first three we went over. He wrote, magnesium chloride has a unique healing power on acute viral and bacterial diseases. Listen to this very closely. This is in the writing. It says it cured polio and diphtheria, which was the main subject of my magnesium book. This guy wrote a book. A few grams of magnesium chloride every few hours will clear nearly all acute illnesses, which can be beaten in a few hours. He says, I have seen many flu cases healed in 24 to 48 hours with 3 grams of magnesium chloride taken every 6 to 8 hours. You can do that with vitamin C. If you take 5,000 or 6,000 milligrams of vitamin C 3 or 4 times a day, I'm telling you, you'll be amazed how quick you can wipe out almost any infection. But magnesium chloride is especially effective, more so than vitamin C. This same doctor wrote in 1915, a French surgeon, Professor Pierre Delbert, M.D., was looking for a solution to cleanse wounds because he had discovered that the traditional antiseptic solutions modified tissues and facilitated the infection instead of preventing it. In other words, it aggravated. It caused the infection to get worse. He was testing these solutions to figure out what would work. And I give you an example of that is one that we use commonly. You pour it on a wound and it fizzes like crazy. Peroxide. Well, that's great. It will kill the bacteria, but it also causes, it destroys enough tissue there that the infection can actually get worse. So realizing that, he tested several mineral solutions and discovered that a magnesium chloride solution was not only harmless for tissue, in other words, it did no damage, but also greatly affected leukocytic activity and pathocytosis. In other words, it decreased the activity of the bacteria or the other, whatever it was that was bothering them. So it was perfect for external wound treatment. Dr. Delbert performed many in vitro and in vivo experiments with this solution, and he became aware that it was good not only for external applications, but also for a powerful immune stimulant if taken by injection or even by mouth. He called this effect cytophylaxis. In some in vivo experiments, the phagocytosis rate was increased by up to 300%. It makes everything work better. He continues, from a practical standpoint, please remember that only magnesium chloride, I'm going to stress that again, he writes this, not me, only magnesium chloride and no other magnesium salt has this cytolactic activity. Probably it is a molecule and not a merely ionic matter. The solution to be used is 2.5% magnesium chloride solution with 25 grams of water. It's that simple. Just drink a lot of water when you take it. That's all you got to remember. He says in acute diseases, the doses is administrated every 6 hours, every 3 hours for the first two doses if the case is severe, then space every 8 hours and then 12 hours as improvement continues. After recovery, it's better to go on a dose every 12 hours for some days. In other words, about 500 milligrams those times. In other words, in conclusion, okay, we've been talking about this for 3 days now. In conclusion, he says, antibiotics were never anything but a temporarily good idea. Now, let me see if I can pronounce this. Fluoroquinolones are the worst antibiotics, are among the most dangerous drugs on the market, and should be avoided without question. Now, what are those? I don't even know what that word means. Fluoroquinolones. I don't know what that is, but listen to what he says. Despite their dangers, fluoroquinolones are the most prescribed class of antibiotics in the United States. No other antibiotic carries as high a potential to cause serious permanent injuries and even death as the fluoroquinolones do. Are you being taught this? Is your doctor telling you that what they're giving you has the potential to cause death? Antibiotics themselves can be dangerous. Yet you let a kid get a flu and you take them to the doctor, they'll give them a stinking antibiotic. What kind? Well, I'm not sure, but I'm probably going to guess, according to this article, that it's fluoroquinolones. You need to ask your doctor. I don't want that. Shoot, take a sulfur drug. It's much safer. Take magnesium chloride. Start using colloidal silver, for crying out loud. That's another good one I've not got time to talk about in this show. So listen to this. He says, the age of antibiotics is about over, as great harm has been done to the world's populations with them. We have come close to compromising our biological existence with the reckless overuse of antibiotics. Now we have antibiotic-resistant strains of pathogens encroaching on our biospheres, and it is getting increasingly dangerous to set foot anywhere near a hospital. Why? He says many people, including children, who die in the hospital after surgery, die not from the surgery itself, but from infections that get out of control. Listen to this. Infections cause 68% of child deaths in America. And we wonder why? Could it be the antibiotics? He goes on to say, in many ways, this is it, said Professor Tim Walsh. This is potentially the end. There are no antibiotics in the pipeline that have activity against NDM1 producing enterobacteriaceae. In other words, any new bacteria, anything comes on with this antibiotic resistance, there's not an antibiotic in the pipeline that can stop it. He goes on to say, we have a bleak window of maybe 10 years where we're going to have to use the antibiotics we have very wisely, but also grapple with the reality that we have nothing to treat these infections with. That's a sad state of affairs. That is the system we're under today. It is the pharmaceutical medical profession teaming up, working together, and then getting the government on their side through the FDA, the World Health Organizations, and the CDC to make sure that the only things you have available to treat disease are the things that they want you to put you on. The same people that make their money totally and completely off of sickness and illness want you to use only the medications they recommend. Don't you think it would be wiser to start shifting away from that course? I mean, if you were in a ship and you were sailing straight toward an iceberg, wouldn't you change course? Of course you would. Well, that's exactly what we are. In the United States of America and around the world, we are the Titanic, which, by the way, was on a dead head-on straight collision with a huge iceberg. And by the way, you may not believe this, and you'll call me a conspiracy theorist. That's okay. Everybody's ever called me that has already, many of them have already apologized and said I was right. But they knew the Titanic was on a collision course with the iceberg, but they had to make sure that they had an excuse to wipe out all the people that was against, which was on the ship, some of the richest people in the world that was against the one world money system was on that ship. And guess what? When it went down, who went down with it? All those people that was against the one world money system that they're pushing us under today. They'll do anything they can to get control of all the money, because when they can control the money, just like the pharmaceutical industry is now controlling our government, they can control everything. And don't think the pharmaceutical company is not controlling your government. Try to get any of your representatives or your senators, try to get them to give the power back to the people to decide what's best for their health instead of some government agency, and watch what happens. They will laugh you all the way out of court, and they will make it so you're never allowed in the court systems again as long as you live. That's where we're at. It's going to take us getting the truth, getting knowledge, sharing it with our fellow humans, and making sure that everybody understands that we've got to go back to a more natural approach, doing it God's way, using His creations, instead of man's way, using His concoctions. If you've enjoyed these shows about natural antibiotics, remember you can listen to them again by going to www.nhcherbs.com. That's our website. You go there, scroll down to the microphone and click on it, and there's a listing of all the shows that you can listen to. There's Natural Antibiotics 1, 2, and 3. Everybody needs to hear this message. You need to know what's available. You need to get you some iodine, some magnesium chloride, some colloidal silver, things like that, and you need to pump up your immune system with a wonderful product called IS3. Thank y'all for listening to today's health update. Always here for you, always here to educate you, always here to give you the truth so you'll know how to make your decisions. Until next time, may God continue to bless all of us with abundant health. And remember, this year we're magnifying the Lord.
Now you know why today's health update is called the fastest 30 minutes on the radio. Making the right decisions becomes so much easier when you know the truth. If you would like to know more about products, call 256-757-0660. Visit Herbs & More in Athens or NHC Herb Shop in Killen, or visit our website at www.nhcherbs.com. If you would like to hear a show again or share it with someone, go to Herbs & More Athens Facebook page and scroll down to Roy's picture. The shows are uploaded daily. Or go to Podbean on your computer or phone and type NHC19. That's NHC19 in the search bar and scroll down to find the title you wish to listen to. This is Andy Black. Thank you again for listening to today's Health Update.